Many believe that reproductive health care is easy to get in California because reproductive rights are stronger than in many other states. Yet, despite women's legal rights in California, in the real world, reproductive choice is still out of reach for millions of women throughout the state. And those reasons run the gamut, from a lack of providers, travel expenses, insurance issues, even misinformation, all create barriers for women who are just trying to make choices that are right for them. Guadalupe Rodriguez is the Program and Public Policy Director of ACCESS, Women's Health Rights Coalition, based here in Oakland, California. She joins us now in our Making Contact studio. Guadalupe, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So can you tell us a little bit about what ACCESS does?
Sure. ACCESS is based here in Oakland, and we our main work that we do is through our health line. So we run a health line that reaches women all over California that's open Monday through Friday. And women can call this health line in order to get information, referrals, advocacy help, or anything else that has to do with reproductive health care services. We also, through the health line, offer practical support through a network of volunteers that we have throughout the state. So we help women actually be able to make it to their abortion appointments or to have a place to stay if they have to travel to get to a provider that will provide the service. And we also have a fund that through which we can help pay for abortion costs if a person doesn't have insurance or doesn't have the money to cover the care for themselves or to cover hotels or other kinds of practical support if we can't find that through our volunteer network. And so that's the crux of the work that we do. But we also, from the stories and from what we learn from our caller partners, we have a policy, public policy branch where we focus on the issues that affect the caller partners. And so everything that we do is based on the problems that we see that people face. And so that's why we're at the moment working on national health care reform, because the majority of the caller partners that we work with are uninsured or underinsured. So that's another big part of what we do, the public policy. And then we also have a community mobilization project through which we're trying to build awareness in California about barriers to access to reproductive health care and trying to build a coalition of volunteers and people throughout the state who understand reproductive justice. So those are the three main areas of work that we do.
Well, the current and national movement to reform healthcare offers a significant opportunity to transform public and private systems to make them more responsive to the needs and experiences of all individuals. Can you explain why healthcare reform is a matter of reproductive justice?
Yeah, reproductive justice recognizes that multiple factors such as race, ethnicity, gender, education, family, sexuality, primary language, a number of other things play a role in a woman's reproductive health and the outcomes and basically the overall well-being of herself and her family. And so from a reproductive justice perspective, access to health coverage is a critical component in promoting the ability of women, their families, and their communities at large to lead healthy and fulfilling lives that are free from reproductive oppression. And so any policy that's out now to reform healthcare must help eliminate the reproductive health inequities that persist among women of color and other underserved women in the state and in the country.
Well, health coverage must include comprehensive reproductive health services for all women, including immigrant women. Mm-hmm. Are immigrant women in this country even part of the conversation in the current health care reform debate?
I think, unfortunately, at this moment, there are provisions in the legislation that's going through that is very discriminatory toward immigrant women and immigrant communities. We're really concerned about those communities and about those women and because of that, our focus in the work that we're doing for healthcare reform is about reproductive justice and really ensuring that all communities are included, including immigrant communities and immigrant women. And so the answer is yes, that currently immigrant women and immigrant communities are part of the conversation, but they're not being included in what's coming forth right now. And that's a great concern to us, and something that that moving forward right now and the time we have left in the process, we're really trying to fight for to ensure that there's adequate and equitable coverage for immigrant communities, immigrant women.
We've been hearing in this show a lot about the Hyde Amendment. What impact has the Hyde Amendment had on immigrant women?
I think in California, we're lucky enough that the Medicaid program covers pregnancy services including abortion coverage for all women, including immigrant women. And so in California, the Hyde Amendment hasn't had as much of an impact as far as prohibiting Medicaid from covering abortion because the state does so itself. In other states, however, in other parts of the country, it is a huge problem. And not only for immigrant women, but for all women who depend on Medicaid coverage and other forms of public coverage for their pregnancy care and for their abortion care. And so I think it's had an impact on all women, but definitely, I mean, immigrant women tend to be the ones who are most likely to be uninsured, the ones who are most likely to be in jobs that don't offer coverage, to be underinsured. And so certainly as far as prohibiting public programs from covering pregnancy services, including abortion, the Hyde Amendment has had a huge impact on those communities. But again, in California right now, so far, immigrant women are able to receive coverage when they're pregnant, are able to receive abortion coverage. What might happen moving forward is still a question, however.
So what kinds of hurdles do you face in your work when you're helping immigrant women access reproductive health services? For instance, I know that in many Latin American countries, abortion is illegal. So I imagine that it would be a significant obstacle explaining to women that it's legal here in the U.S.
I think that one of the main hurdles that we face in our work with helping immigrant women is exactly what you mentioned, a lack of information in the community about what their rights are and what resources exist for them. But also, once women are empowered with the knowledge about what they qualify for, what programs are there for them, what resources are there, and what's legal, there's also a lot of misinformation from government agencies about what immigrant women are able to access. And so what we find, so you're right, it's a double-pronged problem. The first part of it is obviously educating the community about what resources are there for them and what they qualify for, and that it is in fact legal in the U.S. And then once we get there, we also help women through the barriers that they face and that all women face, really, as far as misinformation about the programs. I think one of the main things is that, as I mentioned, the Medicaid program in California covers pregnancy services for all women who qualify for the program, including immigrant women. And but oftentimes, the workers or people who are giving the program, who are enrolling people in the program, might not know the rules very well and might offer misinformation. And we see this particularly happen with immigrant women, specifically after 2006, when there was a provision that required that people applying for Medicaid present proof of citizenship. It became an issue where that provision was confused with the pregnancy Medicaid program, which in fact doesn't require applicants to present citizenship documentation. So that program is exempt from those requirements, and yet the information about what the requirements were was confused. And so I think that after 2006, it became a little bit more pronounced. The problems became more pronounced as far as misinformation. But I think that it still persists in other ways. And so, yeah, I think one of the main hurdles is that misinformation. I think once people are able to understand the process and once, if we have to step in, are able to help people get through the process of applying for benefits and for finding a place, a provider that will see them and really sort of putting everything in line to be able to get the care they need, things are smooth. But I think that misinformation is the very first hurdle and one of the most significant hurdles.
There are many women in this country and in this state who rely on Medicaid to pay for abortion services, but it's not that simple, is it?
It is not that simple. As I mentioned before, Medicaid in California does pay for abortion services, thankfully, and many women are eligible to apply for it and are able to get it to be able to cover the care that they need. However, as I mentioned, with immigrant women, many other women in the state face misinformation when trying to access care. So that's one of the first and very significant hurdles that they face. If they're able to overcome the misinformation they receive about the application for Medicaid and are able to get Medicaid, there are also barriers that they face in trying to find a provider that will accept the coverage. And then once they find a provider, there's other barriers as far as is the provider a local provider or do they have to travel? And if they have to travel, there are considerations about, you know, how to pay for when they have to travel. I think one example is that a lot of women who are in the second trimester of pregnancy often have, there are very few providers in the state that will actually accept Medicaid and do that do second trimester procedures. And so a lot of those women, for example, we worked with a woman named Lisa who lived in Fresno, and she was in her early second trimester, but wasn't able to receive care that she needed in Fresno because the provider there wouldn't accept her insurance, wouldn't accept Medicaid. And so she had to travel from Fresno hundreds of miles to San Francisco to be able to get the care she needed. And that's just one story. We also worked with a woman recently named Joanne from Eureka who had to travel to San Francisco for very similar reasons. She was a young woman and it took her longer. She actually had decided she wanted to end the pregnancy early on before it would be a 2-day procedure in the second trimester. However, she had trouble getting Medicaid because they told her that she didn't qualify because she's a teenager. And that's incorrect. And so she had to wait a few weeks to be able to get the Medicaid. Once she got it, she was already in the second trimester and had to travel all the way to San Francisco to get the care she needed. And so we see this all the time, and it's a lot of the work that we do, because it's exactly that. It's not that simple. Just being able to get the care, even in California, where we have very comparably very liberal laws around access to care, it's still very, very difficult to find access.
Why is it so difficult to access Medicaid? Why is the process so difficult for these women?
Part of the process for getting Medicaid is complicated because, as I mentioned, of misinformation. I think there are a lot of different rules for different things. One specific thing that I mentioned earlier is about the Deficit Reduction Act, the DRA requirements that require people applying for Medicaid to present citizenship documentation. And when that passed in 2006, a lot of the rules, basically people had to come up with those documents in order to be able to apply. And even though those provisions, those requirements don't apply to women applying for Medicaid for pregnancy coverage, a lot of women were still asked for those documents. So that was a significant change and a significant sort of barrier for people being able to access care. So misinformation, I think also logistically, it's very difficult to get to a Medicaid office or a social service agency to apply for Medicaid. Often the business hours are during the day when people are working. Often there's only one office, one agency in the entire county or in a large city, there might just be one. And so it's logistically difficult. And then once a person is there, it also can often be difficult communicating what one needs with the staff there. And then furthermore, it takes the staff's knowledge and the staff being able to apply eligibility guidelines correctly to be able to get through the process in an easy, quick manner. And so those, you know, there are significant barriers in each in the path of applying. And so I think that that's part of the problem. I think I might also add that being able to one of the other barriers that I mentioned about being able to find a provider that's local, being able to find a provider that's local who accepts Medicaid is difficult because Medicaid actually pays very low reimbursement rates to providers. And so I think that that's another barrier for women who are on Medicaid and want to use that to pay for care, that they have, their options are reduced even more than other women's options because of the fact that not a lot of providers are able to afford to see patients with Medicaid.
Now, even though Medicaid, as you just described, is difficult to access, at least it's there. And I'm wondering, in the current healthcare debate, is Medicaid in jeopardy?
You're right. I think that it's unclear at the moment, based on the provisions in both the Senate and the House bills, whether or not Medicaid is in jeopardy. It actually, I mean, both bills have provisions that allow for Medicaid to be expanded to a larger pool of applicants. So they're extending the eligibility requirement for income. So more people will be able to apply for it. One of the things in California, however, specifically that we're worried about is about cuts to the budget for Medicaid. And so I think individually in the state, because of the severe budget crisis that the state is in, there is a chance that coverage for different things might be cut within our state's Medicaid. And so again, individually in California, I think we're in danger of losing some programs because of our budget crisis. And I think overall in the healthcare bills, it's still unclear what the impact of on Medicaid will be based on the mandates that come from health reform legislation. So I think it's too early to say, but I think we'll be looking out for that.
So can you clear up for us then what the restriction of federal funds will do to Medicaid, specifically here in California?
The restriction of federal funds for abortion coverage, specifically in California, may not have an effect on the Medi-Cal program here, on the Medicaid program here. Because California actually, as well as other states, I think 13 other states in the country, has a provision or has the permission of the government to pay for abortion coverage with its own money. So all of the coverage for abortion care that in California comes from state money. And all of the money that we get for Medicaid from the federal government goes to other parts of the Medicaid program in California and goes to pay for other pregnancy services that are allowed under federal funding. And those restrictions on federal funding won't necessarily have direct impact on our Medicaid coverage of abortion. However, because of the financial crisis that the state is in right now, there is concern that that state funding for abortion coverage and for other pregnancy related services might be taken away by the state itself, and that because the federal mandate, because the federal healthcare legislation requires that the Medicaid program be expanded to more people, if the state can't afford to pay for that expansion, then it might take money from other parts of Medicaid that it funds itself to cover what the national healthcare reform bill is going to require. So that's a concern here. But again, the provisions in the legislation, in the national legislation, won't necessarily affect what California can do with abortion coverage through Medicaid. It will obviously affect the way the insurance exchange will run in California, and it will affect women who are buying insurance through the exchange and their ability to get coverage. And then another thing is that a lot of plans in California, a lot of Medicaid plans are actually managed by private insurance providers. So in California, we have a program called Managed Care Medi-Cal, and which means that the state contracts with private insurance companies so that Medicaid enrollees can have their plans managed by private plans. And one of the concerns is with the federal restrictions on abortion and basically the restrictions that will be put on private insurers who want to offer abortion coverage, plans with abortion coverage, is that if they're not able to have plans that cover abortion, if the administrative restrictions from the legislation make it so that they don't want to offer plans that offer abortion coverage, then we're afraid of what impact that might have on people who are in those managed care plans through Medi-Cal here in California. We're concerned that it might mean that they might lose access to abortion providers through Medicaid even. And so these are concerns that come from what we expect might happen. It's not written in the legislation, but again, it just follows that if a private insurance provider isn't allowed to or decides not to provide plans with abortion coverage, then the people who are currently enrolled in that with that private insurer might lose the coverage that they already have to abortion care.
So what is your hope for the future regarding reproductive rights for all women in the U.S.?
Our hope is that the legislation that comes out offers comprehensive coverage for all reproductive health services and that really and specifically abortion coverage. But not only that reproductive rights that we currently have are protected, and that existing access that women have to reproductive health services, including abortion care, is not taken away. I think that's one of our main hopes for the future regarding reproductive rights.
We've been talking to Guadalupe Rodriguez. She's the Program and Public Policy Director for ACCESS, Women's Health Rights Coalition, based here in Oakland, California. Guadalupe, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you for having me.